Good day. My name is Michelle, and welcome to Nova's Business Report on the Market Watch. With me today, I have Ray Ohala. He is a senior trader at RMB Namibia, and we are going to talk bond markets like we normally do. And there's a switch auction this week, Ray. Take us quickly through what is on offer, and then we can dive into some of the challenges.
Cool. No, thanks. Thanks, Michelle. And again, all the best for the week ahead. It's almost Friday. So this week is going to be very, very interesting. We've got the second installment of a GC26 switch auction. And I think we know that this is a very, very powerful maturity risk mitigating tool that the central bank uses. So, you know, all eyes are always on to see how well is the switch allocation going to be. And that's usually dependent on, one, what switch yield they will announce, which hasn't been announced yet. And then also the how much they are actually willing to allocate the destination bonds at the bush yields, which you generally find that there's some opportunistic bidding and upward pressure on spreads.
Take us quickly through that opportunistic bidding. Maybe just explain that to our listeners.
No problem. So what's unique thing about when you see a switch auction is that someone is actually willing to, you know, forgo their short-dated bond in exchange for a longer-dated instrument. Now, given that you've seen that, you know, the majority of people holding these short-dated bonds might have, you know, a shorter term in, or shorter duration target within their portfolios, they need to get some sort of benefit for, you know, possibly getting a longer-dated bond. And also, given that it's not, you know, it's not an open to everyone, it's only people that are specifically holding this bond, you've got less participants that are taking part, which also generally puts upward pressure on your bidding yields. So because of that, what you tend to find is that there's value in participating because you're assisting in, you know, mitigating this maturity risk. And therefore, the investor saying, cool, if I'm going to increase my duration, I need to be at least compensated for that. And therefore, I'll bid accordingly. And usually you'll find that it's a bit higher level than you've found before. But I think now, given the current environment, it's actually a lot more interesting.
Okay, so take us through that, because what was the result of the first switch?
Yeah, so what you saw there is that you definitely saw that there was opportunistic bidding and you saw spreads widen. I mean, you saw allocations that were as high as 33 basis points away from the pre-bidding levels. And that's just an indication that on the one side, we can see that the market is very, very aware that there's going to be an increase in supply of these instruments, and therefore, naturally, your yields will start to trend higher. So if I'm going to pick it up in a switch option, I need to be compensated for this increased risk that the yields are going to pick up. Because you've got a huge maturity amount that's outstanding and you're really aiming to have this amount as minimal as possible so that it doesn't become a borrowing requirement in the next fiscal year, you're actually now more open to taking higher yields because you're saying, cool, if I'm taking this cost, I've pushed it, you know, a bit further down on the chain, but at least I don't need to worry about the cash requirement now. Therefore, I'm willing to take this higher yield. And that's kind of what you're seeing at play. You're seeing both from a demand side, market is comfortable and only willing to pick up a longer dated bond if they're compensated for it. And at the same time, from the government and central bank's perspective, it makes sense because if they really want to reduce the maturity amount, they need to make sure that they can allocate at higher yields. And it's significant because you've got almost 5.6 billion of this bond that's maturing. And you still got, I mean, say how many months now? It's almost nine more months left for the remainder of the fiscal year.
Yeah, and if they under allocate again, that means that another switch will have to see really wider spreads.
100%, and you know, and this becomes, and what we've seen in the calendar so far is that, I mean, we only have the borrowing plan or borrowing issuance calendar up until September, but if you assume that it's going to repeat, it means that you're going to have about 9 switch options that are left over to try and switch out this 5.6 billion, which roughly means about 600 million per auction, which is a significant amount where we usually have averages around 300 to 400. But where you see amounts of that size, 600 up to 900, is where you saw the allocated destination bond was allocated at a spread that was significantly higher than the pre-auction level.
So, Ray, if they under-allocate again, what would you think is bond hoping for in the future? What according to them, could be the reasons why they would want to under-allocate if the spreads are too big? and what might they hope for to happen to bring yields then back?
So, I mean, it might be that it's their long-term view of yield, right? They might not think that currently where market is bidding, they feel is the fair reflection of where yield should be in the long run. And that could be, you know, as a result of their view on inflation. They might have a view that inflation is going to stay lower for longer. Those are famous last words. it might be the case that, you know, they see inflation very, very low. And if inflation is going to be low, what you'll find from an investor's perspective is that they'll no longer require a much higher yield to, you know, protect their purchasing power. So that could be one. It could also be seen a more positive outlook for EM, and not just specifically Namibia given the oil story, but it could be EM in general, and specifically SA, the benchmark one. And they could be waiting for SA bonds to rally significantly. And if those bonds rally significantly, that obviously means our local bonds will also rally. And therefore, you could, even though you might then have spreads widening later on, the actual all-in yield is actually at a lower level, which might be something that they're more comfortable taking in. And then I think maybe finally, it might also just be that they're hoping that there is a renewed positivity in terms of the local fiscal dynamics locally from the market, because at the current stage, I think the market is communicating that they do see that there's going to be an increase in supply of these bonds, just given the deficit that is there and the requirement for the local borrowing requirement. And because of that, the market is saying, because of the demand-supply dynamics, this excess supply would only result in higher yields. So if they have a view that maybe something will shift in terms of this narrative, then they might be waiting for that, and hopefully that they would be able to meet their borrowing requirement.
From their point of view, yeah. So it sounds like a lot of what ifs. So on the fiscal position. So I mean, some of my previous guests have also indicated that the borrowing plan has increased, right? So there is this expectation that more will be issued.
Correct. And I think what makes this very interesting and why it's very important to see this as being very different from the past is that we've had increases in the past, but that was also married with the increase in your local asset requirement, you know, about 6 years back, is that because a lot of your asset managers and your pension funds were, you know, behind this threshold when it moved from 35 to 25%. They needed local assets. And at the time, I mean, and still currently the case, the only local asset that's, you know, readily available was government bonds. So they really stocked up on that. And that's where you saw this excess demand compression in spreads. I mean, we moved from an average of about 200 to 150 to where we now at double digits of about only 50 basis points about SA, but that's really driven by this drive for local assets. Now, the story is everyone is comfortable, right? So the entire market is well above the 45% threshold. And maybe if there's any change to this requirement, if there's a further increase in this requirement, then you might see a similar thing play out. But yeah, as it stands now, there isn't really much incentive to, you know, really push the market to want to increase the demand at current levels, because they feel that given the supply and the fiscal risks that present themselves, that they, you know, they need to be compensated for that.
Interesting time. So you never know what's going to happen, Ray. Thank you very much for talking to me. Let's see what happens this week. And at a next occasion, you can maybe give us some education on this again. Thank you very much.
It is my pleasure. I always look forward to these chats, and have an awesome week ahead.